Blog Talk Radio.
Of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and comforter. And I would like to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum. And of course, I would like to extend a special thank you to my family in Kenya for all of the love and all of the warmth and support that you all have sent me all week. Excuse me. Via email. And I'm so happy that all of you are enjoying the show. So, Mujambu to all of you, and know that I love you much. And before we get started, y'all have to excuse me because I just came down with this cough like 5 minutes ago. So, Brother Kareem, would you go ahead and introduce the guest while I'm trying to get some water down my throat?
Yes, ma'am. Certainly. Not a problem. And assalamu alaikum to the listening audience as well as the panel. And first and foremost, we're going to start with the queen. So, Sister Vanessa Chosen Marie, please, front and center, and present yourself to our listening audience.
Good evening, assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I'm Vanessa Chosen Marie. Goodness, I don't even know. Introduction. You know what? One day I'm going to have to write down an introduction so I can do this better. I am mother of 7 with 1 on the way. I work with our youth in the Houston area and also doing radio and hip-hop music, helping artists with supporting that, and just trying to be a light where I can be for our community. I can't say that I know everything, but what I do know, I'm willing to share. So that's me in a nutshell.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you very much for your contribution. And Brother Clyde, front and center, sir, introduce yourself.
Assalamu alaikum, family. My name is Brother Clyde Muhammad. I've been in the Nation of Islam since 1994. Came in Detroit, Michigan at the historical mosque number one under Minister Rasul Hakim Muhammad. I now have the distinct honor and pleasure of serving as an assistant minister to our local and state representative, student minister Troy Muhammad. And like I said, I just want to thank you all for allowing me to even be able to sit with the students of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad up under Minister Louis Farrakhan leadership. And I want to thank Sister Aziza once again for considering me and having me on tonight.
Brother, the honor is ours. Trust and believe me, the honor is ours. And thank you, Brother Kareem, for holding it down while I had to go and recuperate for whatever is floating around in the air.
Yes,
and so, we're going to go ahead and get started. And I thought I saw Brother James out there, but I guess he's going to call back in a minute. I hope so, because I certainly wanted to acknowledge his presence. And I want to thank all of you who have joined us in the various chat rooms, as well as those of us who are joining us on the phone. Okay, so the Feminist Project, here we go. Now, let me give y'all the history of why we even here tonight talking about this subject. Now, those of you who know me well know that I don't socialize on Facebook, you know, like commenting and blogging and things of that nature, but I do read and I do pay attention, and I think more so this year than any year before, at least maybe I'm just noticing that I have been hearing seeing the term used, feminist women, and I'm like, okay. And, you know, at first, of course, I'm just somebody's opinion about something, and I dismissed it and went on. And then as I saw some of the brothers talking more, they were saying that these feministic women are feminist women. They're a problem. And I just wasn't understanding. And so I thought that the best way to get an understanding, of course, was to have an open dialogue about what is a feminist woman. Because, I will admit my naivety that I thought it was a lesbian. I didn't know. You know, I thought they were trying to be suave with words or something. I had no clue, about what a feminist was. And it's not exclusively to women. Men can also be feminist, from what I understand. And so I wanted to discuss this topic because I want to make sure that women who are independent or who are strong in their stance or, you know, they're very outgoing and very active in their community. I just want to make sure women are not getting a bad rap, and especially single women, because I'm a single woman, and I know I have a lot of irons in the fire, but the way they say feminist, I'm not liking the way they express it. So I'm going to start with you, Sister Vanessa. In your opinion, when you hear the brothers talking about a feminist here lately, what are they really talking about?
Queen, I think for me, the first thought that comes to my mind takes me back to the feminist movement. So it already has a negative connotation because of what followed. So I think that, as you said, you know, you hope that we're not getting a bad rap, that a lot of women are kind of pulled into the same category if you're independent and, like you said, you're outspoken or you have a strong head on your shoulders, that we're all kind of being pulled into that. Not all women who are independent are absent of the knowledge of needing a man in their life as a, in that role, or not willing to have that. So, and I can speak personally that I'm very independent. But at the same time, I recognize, too, I'm not willing to carry the household, my household myself, when it comes to teaching and understanding and, you know, a lot of things that come into play with family. So I think that for me, a lot of times we're getting a bad rap and we're getting the negative outlook from so many people that just say, if you think that you're independent, then you you don't want the support of a brother, and that's not always true.
Oh, okay, so when you say we, you include yourself as being what they label a feminist, is that correct?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
I just mean we as
just
women.
Wondering.
No. I mean we as women, because I mean, honestly, I'm one of those people, and like you said, you know, you have the Facebook stuff, but for the longest, my things always said label me not. I don't particularly like labels. So I don't want to, you know,
right.
I don't want to be placed
right.
into
like,
a box or placed
I know
into
ain't putting herself in no box. That's
no, ma'am. No, ma'am. You know, don't put me into a box or put me into a category, because I'm sorry. I can't be, I'm like Ryan Leslie, I can't be contained. Don't put me in the box.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And Brother Clive, I want to ask you, because now, Brother Clive, you're a married man, and so mm-hmm. all praise is due to Allah. You have your queen. But as I talked to you about this issue, you told me, you said, you know, you're watching your 19-year-old daughter develop, of course, into her womanhood. And so what do you see a
mm-hmm.
feminist as?
Well, you know, I really, as I look at that and try to grasp what a feminist is, from my understanding, and you can let me know if I'm wrong, I thought it was a woman that really carried herself in a feminine way. I never really looked at that in a negative connotation, from my understanding. I thought it was somebody that was just very, very found their femininity and enjoy it. But saying that, when I told you about me looking at my 19-year-old daughter and understanding what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad have been teaching us about the nature of a man and the nature of a woman, I think it's imperative that we understand and look at and understand the nature of the two. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under Minister Louis Farrakhan's leadership, taught us and teaches us that it's in a woman's nature to live up to a man's standard. And if his standard is low, then she will lower her standard to live up to here. And that's when I look at my daughter and try to wrap my head around that and explain to her, you don't never want to lower your standard. If you meet a young man, you want to either raise his standard or you want to keep moving. And I try to be that example with my wife and my family, so she can see how, you know, a man is actually supposed to be. He don't run from responsibility, he runs to it. Now, you made a statement about men falling into the category of being feminine or feminist. That one there, I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around that at all, because
okay,
when you say
well,
that, I
well, let me
I
bring some clarity to it, Brother Clyde, because I want to clear the word with you, because it says feminist is a person whose beliefs and behaviors are based on feminism. And feminism is a collection of movements, ideologies aimed at defining, establishing, and defending equal political, economic, and social rights for women. So a feminist can be a man who is in support of equal rights for women, you know, or he can he could have feminine behaviors too, but we're not talking about that aspect of it.
Okay.
But we are going to talk about men who support women being independent,
okay,
you know, and equal rights and things of that nature. So that's what we mean by that.
Okay, well, thank you for clearing that up, because I was scratching my head on that one there. You know,
yes,
so I thank you for clearing that word for me. So if that being the case, absolutely, I'm in total support. As I tell my wife, and I don't have to tell her that, and as I tell my daughter and explain to her, you know, if you want to be a doctor, lawyer, judge, professor, whatever it is, you want to be bringing your own money, you want to work, you want to travel, you should be able to do that, you know, and being in a relationship and getting married shouldn't stop that as long as it's understood before you make that commitment. And I tell her, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if you want to do that, it's probably best if you do that before you get married, you know, because once you get married, you know, then you may start having children and other responsibilities. But as far as the man side being a feminine, supporting equal rights for women, I definitely support that, because I support my wife and I support my daughter as being that. So absolutely, I think that's a good thing, and I think it's something that probably should be pushed even more, because unfortunately the gravitational pull of this world have a lot of men thinking that a woman's place is, you know, other than what it should be. You know, she should be more, at home, or, you know, more submissive, and you know, she should be waiting on you and this, that, and the other. And we're not taught that in the Nation of Islam. So I think when you find women that want to really, really push the feminist movement, I think a lot of times that might be the driving force behind it, you know, getting to the point where they're saying, well, if I got to do all this, I don't want to be in a relationship. So I think that's something that we really should look at and focus on.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, Brother Kareem, before we get back to Brother Clyde and Sister Vanessa, do we have any questions on the line? This is going to be funny. I can feel it already.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. I'm going to fire this mic up right here. Area code 813, your mic is live.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam. Hey, James, how you feeling?
How you doing, soldier? Excuse me for a minute. How you doing, beloved?
Yep.
Brother Kareem?
I'm fine. All praises to you. How you doing, sir?
Okay, very good. I wanted to extend, first and foremost, the greetings to Sister Aziza, as well as yourself, and my dear brother Clyde Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Clyde, as well as your other panelists.
Is that my brother James?
This is he. By Allah's grace, brother.
Good to hear you.
Good to hear you as well, dear brother. And, of course, to your other panelists, your esteemed guests. I do have a question, though. I'd like to know, since I've heard this term mentioned so much, particularly in this subject matter, how is independence being defined? And anyone, I'd like one of the sisters, if you could, answer that. How are you defining independence?
All right, Sister Vanessa, you want to take that question from Brother James?
Okay. Okay, I got to get her. Blog Talk is tripping, so if you give her, give me just a moment to get her back on the line.
Oh, okay, we lost her. Okay, well, Brother Kareem can get her back on the phone.
I'm working
right now. All right, yes, sir. Well, Brother James, independent is like something like what Brother Clyde described, a woman who is capable of financially, and I stress that heavily, financially holding down the household and not really needing a man for financial resources. In other words, she can, you know, she can take care of the children, she can take care of the house. And this is an independent woman, so to speak, in this day and time, you know, not just being independent educationally wise or socially wise or physically, but in the realm of being able to maintain self and house all by herself. That's what an independent woman in 2013 is.
Thank you. McQueen, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
What you're sharing with me, is that the consensus of your panelists in terms of how they're using independence? Because I really wanted to hear from them. I kind of know what you mean by independence.
Yes, sir.
But I was wondering how that...
Did we get Sister Vanessa back? She can answer the question. Brother Kareem, did we get her back?
I'm back, but unfortunately I didn't hear everything that you said.
Okay, he wanted you to describe what you he wanted you to describe your definition of independent, like an independent woman.
Well, for me, my independence is having the ability to maintain and think, do for myself as well as my family outside of feeling that someone owes me that. That's my level of independence, whether it's towards a man or my family. I don't necessarily feel that I don't feel I don't need anyone. That has nothing to do with my level of independence. For me, being independent means that I am capable of providing for myself, capable of providing for my children, capable of being able to do. If I do not have that support system, I can still survive on my own.
Well, thank you. That's excellent. And I could not understand why any man would not feel blessed with a woman of that mindset and in that position.
Hmm.
I don't know what the problem
well.
Is.
Well, I can tell you why. We can tell
thank you
why.
For saying that. Some are intimidated by that.
Yes.
And some are intimidated by that. There's the intimidation factor, and then there's also some kinds of factors when you run into a brother who sees that you're independent, and you allow them to take a back seat and say, hey, I don't have to step in because she's got it. And some women will allow that. So we have to, in a sense, stop allowing that to happen, too. I just, you know, we can do, but allow a man to be a man. And some women just don't do that.
Well, I can understand. The independence that you describe, as I understand your description, is just a human being who happens to be female, a woman, but is capable of accomplishing those essentials for survival, and not only for survival, but to progress her life. I mean, what's wrong with that? But if there are those who come off, if you pardon that colloquialism, that expression, but those women who come off to a man that I don't need you, therein lies the danger. Because when a man does not feel needed, he also does not feel wanted.
Okay.
And he feels he has no value in a circumstance or situation where he is not needed. But in terms of what you say, what you're describing, that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful, and you're absolutely right. While a woman is capable of these things, she should not give the impression that she will cover down where the man doesn't. Don't worry about it, baby. I got this. No, then that's it.
Well, okay.
Thank you, though, for your answer.
Can I make one comment on that?
Yes, sir, Brother Clyde, please.
You know, as Brother Jay was talking, I actually looked up the word a few months ago, and it was talking about separation. And one of the definitions of separation, because we were talking about getting a land separate for your own and all of that, and one of the definitions to separation is independent.
Brother Clyde?
Now, I think that's where Brother Jane was going with once a woman starts getting to the point where I'm
Brother
so
Clyde?
Independent where I don't need a man.
Brother
and I
Kareem?
Actually heard women
Hello?
Say that. Everything a man can do for me, I can do for myself. I don't need a man. What do I need a man for?
Is anyone
I think
there?
That kind of independent.
I'm here. I'm
is
here.
Where a woman
I hear
is
Brother
actually
Clyde
losing
and you.
Who she
I don't
really
think
is.
Brother Clyde
and that's where the danger is. The way you all are describing independence today, I think, is right and exact. But if you ask other women in other places and other times, you may get different answers. Whereas, look, I'm independent. What do I need a man for? And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever heard a woman speak like that. And I think Brother James is absolutely right. That's where the danger comes from. And I looked that up, and I found that word independent in the word separation.
Brother Clyde, can you hear me?
You there?
Brother Clyde, can you hear me? Brother Clyde? Sister Aziza? Brother Kareem, anyone? Wow.
Hello?
Can anyone hear me?
I can best hear you. I lost my.
I can hear you now. I can hear, so.
We seem to have lost that. I lost everyone for a moment there.
I lost everyone.
Sister Aziza was trying to get your attention, Brother Clyde. Yes, sir. Brother Kareem, can you hear me?
I can hear you all now. I mean, the sound was gone for a minute. I'm working to get Queen Aziza back on the line now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I lost everybody myself momentarily.
Queen Aziza, you back?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Okay, because I've been here.
Well, no, they killed all the sound.
Excuse me.
Okay.
I don't know. Blog Talk, we just got a bulletin that Blog Talk is having some issues, so.
It's time.
Okay, but we can go ahead and continue. Let's go ahead and pick up with Brother Clyde. Brother Clyde?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I don't know where I was lost at, but I was just saying I was agreeing with Brother James on the aspect of independence, which is good, but then you also have the word separation where you can find the word independence. And I think that's where the danger lies at when women start saying, I don't need a man, I'm independent. And I think that's where the danger lies. I was just, agreeing with what Brother James was saying on that word there.
Right, yes, sir, absolutely. Well, I want to move on because I want to know, you know, let me tell you what I have been witnessing. When they talk about feminist women today, they're talking about women who have been, their mindset has been shaped or formed by corporate America or by their financial status. A lot of women feeling like they are being categorized in a negative way because they are independent, so to speak, in the definition in which I described to you earlier, as being able to financially maintain herself and her household without the assistance of a husband or a significant other or a baby daddy or whatever. You have some women who write men off and say, you know, I don't need you because of whatever has happened between us or what you did to me, who shot John or whatever, and they make up their minds that throughout their lives that they're just going to go on without the headache, without the hassle of the man or the relationship, and they're going to be this independent woman. But now, if that is the case, and if it's a problem, and if the brothers who are engaging or interacting with these women and they discover this, then I don't think running away is a solution. Because what I have been bearing witness to is a lot of negative comments. You know, no one is trying to debrief the sister. No one is trying to comfort her or redirect her or anything like that. Nothing more than put a label on her. And I just think that we need to bridge the gap of understanding of what the men have been through and what the women have been through. Instead of attaching negative labels to our people, I think we need to broaden our understanding of why has this in particularly plagued the black community. Because a lot of black educated women are rumored, and I'll put emphasis on rumored, to have that kind of attitude and take that kind of disposition. And even myself, I have been labeled as being a feminist because I'm not married. And when I tell people I'm not married, they act like, you know, they're going to string me up on a cross. Like, that is just the worst thing in the world to be, is not married. And I'm like, really? You know, so, you know, I just want us to get an understanding of what makes a feminist woman. So, Brother Kareem, now you know I'm going to pull you into this. And the reason why I'm asking Brother Kareem, because Brother Kareem is a single man, and he is, you know, eligible for marriage. Or, as far as I'm concerned, he's qualified, because that's my brother, and he's a beautiful person, and I feel like he makes some woman a great husband. So, Brother Kareem, when you know, meet a sister, see a woman, what characteristics would she possess to give you the impression that she may be just a little too feminist? I'm going to put too feminist on there because I don't think there's anything wrong with being a feminist, but too feminist.
Yes, ma'am. Well, first of all, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. And in the name of the Exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of our Divine Reminder, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I mean, I have to open that way because without Allah and His presence, I would have no answer. What I want to do is just briefly to segue into answering your question. The word feminism, okay, feminine, yes, feminine means simply female. But when you put ism on the back of it, and ism is an oppressive and especially discriminatory attitude or belief. So when we say feminism, we're talking about something that's discriminatory. The first use of feminist or feminism was in the 1800s. I believe it was 1859 or 1869. And what they called, I think, the suffragette movement, because what you had was Caucasian women who were fighting for their rights. They weren't allowed to do anything. They weren't allowed to be, quote, unquote, independent. And so that's where the movement started. When we come up to today, when you, like you said, when I meet someone that I would, quote, unquote, consider feminist, I mean, when I meet a sister who is, quote, unquote, we use the term independent, okay, well, then I'm just, an independent woman is simply a woman. This is an individual who is able to take care of themselves until such time as they can be in a union with a man as things are supposed to be. That's an independent woman to me. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think what individuals are running into, or what I run into as far as somebody that I would classify, if I would even do that, as a feminist, this is an individual that is at every turn, number one, I don't need you. You serve one purpose or two purposes. Either that's to pay my bills or to satisfy my physical needs or both. And outside of that, I have no use for you. The problem comes in where neither one of the individuals or one of the individuals is not placing God first. We have to place God first. When I come in contact with individuals like that, I simply treat them just like I would anyone else, with respect. And if they bring to me an incorrect idea, an incorrect attitude, my answer to any of that is my own behavior. I mean, like I said, I talk with individuals, and if they get out of hand, as long as they don't disrespect me, not a problem. However, the best methodology or the best answer is simply to live the teachings that we have been given. I personally, and I'm going to say this because I don't want to take up all the time, but I personally, and I'm talking about within the ranks of the Nation of Islam now in particular, and I'm going to say it like this, this is my belief, I'm going to say it like that, that within the ranks of both the men and the women, we have allowed feminism in its negative connotation and machoism, chauvinism, to creep into the ranks. This is not something we need, because the teachings we have been given, and in fact, what we are given in the scriptures, both Bible and Holy Quran, if we go by that, we won't have a problem. For example, an individual, a sister I know who considers herself a feminist, she just outright, this is her thing. And we have a very, as friends, we are friends. We have a very good relationship because we're able to talk to one another. Well, one of the things I shared with her, she got a problem, for example, in the Bible where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. You got individuals that will bandy that around. But see, there's an equality there, because in that same section it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband, but it also says, husband, submit yourselves to your wife. See, there's a balance there. You know, so in conclusion, I want to say is this, is that a feminist, okay, in the purest sense of the word, is a woman or a female, I'll say it like that, who feels, like I said, that outside of, really outside of taking care of, and some of them don't even decide that, outside of taking care of physical needs, men have no use. All men are dogs. I mean, this type of attitude, I think this is what these brothers are running into. But like I said, the bottom line is that if a brother wants to bring about a positive impact in their situation, then he simply has to live the life of a righteous individual. You know, I mean, that's it. I mean, I don't know if I'm making sense, but I mean, that's how I see it, because like I said, I don't have a problem. I deal with everybody. Not a problem.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, so I'm going to leave it at that. I'll come with him.
Well, okay, so Brother Clyde, you know, you have a 19-year-old daughter, and of course, you know, you see a lot of women. You know, what makes you, what is the sign or the detection button or whatever that makes you see that this sister may just be a little brash or a little too feministic or whatever you want to call it? What would be some of the signs that you recognize in that type of behavior?
Well, I agree with what Brother just said, but I had a woman tell me one time, and it was a group of us, and she was expressing herself like this. She said, "I don't need a man for nothing." She said, "I got my own money, my own car, my own house. I don't need him for sex. I don't need him for anything." And I was really, I really couldn't understand what made her get to that point. But as we talked, she began to say how she was in such an abusive relationship, you know, a long time ago. I mean, physical, mental, verbal, every other kind of way you can imagine. And so I began to understand why she felt like she felt. She didn't want anything to do with a man. But I go back to the Million Man March. You know, that march, to me, one of the major components of it was to make us become better men, better fathers, better husbands, better brothers. You know, and so I think if we had a took heed to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been feeding us, you know, we wouldn't run into so much or so many women who actually feel that they don't need a man. But the, my conclusion to that is the reason why they feel that they don't need a man because they never really had one. You know, I mean, I look at it like this, and somebody was telling me this the other day. They say the more that a man removes himself from his responsibility, the deeper a woman's voice gets, you know, meaning she become more masculine. I mean, if you look at some of the women that work into these plants like Ford, you know, on assembly lines and different things like that, a lot of them are very, very manly. You know, some of them even turn into, you know, lesbians. You know, and I think it's really because the lack, and I want to put emphasis on the lack of the men that's standing up, running to their responsibility. But I do hear sisters say, "I do not need a man," and I base that on the lack of manhood in the community.
Huh.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's just interesting. I'm just taking it all in. It's just so funny. Okay, hey. Sister Vanessa, are you there? Did we lose her, Brother Kareem?
Okay, I've still got her on the line as far as the board is concerned, but I'm going to let me see. Let me try something. And if not, I'm just going to have to call her back again. I mean, this is...
Yeah, I know Blog Talk is having issues, but, okay, let me just say this. You know, I want to say that, how can I put it? I don't want the sisters, it's my wish, it's my prayer for my sisters, that they don't get dismissed or that they don't be given a chance or a loving hand to deal with this type of thing. Because just as you mentioned, Brother Clyde, when you say that the woman might have been in an abusive relationship and no one helped her to heal, you know, as you know now, the minister has introduced auditing to us, but instead of throwing our sisters away or giving up on them and putting these titles on them and saying, okay, well, you know, she's a feminist, I'm not going to be bothered with that, I'm going to abandon her and leave her alone in her misery, what do you think, as brothers, you should do for a woman who has that type of attitude due to her pain,
mm-hmm.
and she's really reacting out of fear?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree 100%. I believe you hit it on the head. You know, I think at that point, when you go straight into even the straight wiring aspect of auditing, you know, because that's actually what I had done when Sister started talking like that, and before you know it, she was going straight back to an abusive relationship and began to express all the pain, all the hurt, all the misery, all the mistrust, all the downs, all the negative. You know, so I think Dianetics, even though we don't have to use the term Dianetics, or I want to audit you and this, that, and the other, we can literally go straight into the straight wire aspect right on the spot if we're following the guidelines and the leadership of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. I believe that's why he put us on that, so we can help our people. But if we don't have the technique to do it, how can we do it? So I think with this Dianetics that you mentioned is something that's really a tool that he's given us to help heal the pain of our people. So I think that would be definitely one of the things right at the top of the list, you know, going straight to the auditing process with Straightwire.
Yes, sir. And, you know, but and I'm talking about society in general, of course, because there are a lot of what we consider lost found sisters and brothers who are not necessarily in the nation, and they may not even understand what auditing is, even though I know you can audit a person without using the verbiage of the word auditing. However, just in society in general, because we as black people, especially as Muslims, we can't continue to box ourselves in and exclude ourselves from the general public as if we are excluded from our black brothers and sisters, because that is not why the minister put us in the street. He put us in the street to go get our people. And so as we are venturing amongst our community, and we see numerous of women, not just the welfare mothers, not just the project mothers, but we see business women, college-educated, degreed women who have this type of attitude. And, you know, we usually, or I usually don't see them until, of course, they're having problems with their juvenile children or things of that nature. And, of course, once you do the intake, you realize that the male parent is absent, but there's a mindset of the woman that keeps any man out of the household. And so I'm saying to you, in your opinion, and I'm going to ask you, Brother Kareem, in your opinion, how do you turn it around in the community?
Well, again, all praise is due to Allah. And how we turn it around in the community, this is why. And like you, the thing is for me is I am a Muslim. I have to say that. I am a Muslim. I was raised FOI. It doesn't mean that I got a halo on my head and that I haven't done some things. So I've experienced life, quote, unquote. However, what I found is the remedy is, again, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the example that we set, the golden rule, if you will, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so when you see this, for example, if when I've been associated with some sisters where there was no positive male in the equation, and so I come along and as opposed to being just like, and excuse my language, any other nigga, then I be her brother. When it comes to her children, I behave as their uncle. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I treat them the way that I would want someone to treat my children if I'm not on scene. The way we turn that around is, like I said, it's the only answer I know is the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is why we have a men's and a women's class. It's to teach us civilization. And civilization is what? Civilization is how to first and foremost take care of yourself in a proper manner. How to be a human being. And second, how to treat everybody else. You know, I mean, that's how we turn it around. You know, I mean, I can't go to an individual. I can't go to individuals and try to ram what I believe or the way I live down their throat. However, when I show them, when they see an individual who is intelligent, an individual that, for the most part, has peace of mind, someone that will help them without an ulterior motive. Yes, I have a motive, but I don't have an ulterior motive. When people see you like that and see you in that light, then you can actually begin to show them. It's not about telling them how to change. You got to show them a better way of life.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Did we get Sister Vanessa back?
Are we sure, Sister Vanessa?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now I'm going to ask you, Brother Kareem, and I'm going to ask you, Brother Clyde, because I don't know about Sister Vanessa, but I know personally I'm in that boat. What do you say to a sister who says she doesn't want to be married?
What would I say to a sister that says she does not want to be married?
Yeah, she just doesn't want to be married.
You know, the first thing I would ask is probably why. Why not? You know, what would be reason? What would be her reason for not wanting to be married? I mean, because according to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad upon the Minister Louis Farrakhan's leadership, marriage is a sacred institution. You know, marriage is the cornerstone of the society. You know, where you find strong families at, you find strong communities. So first and foremost, I would have to ask the question is why? Because she may have a very good reason, you know, why she don't want to be married. I wouldn't know unless I asked her if she said that to me. So I would have to find out why. You know, she may have came up in a household where her mother and father was in such a battle day in and day out that she came up in her mind at a very young age, I don't ever want to live like that, you know. So we don't know what the motive is or her reason or her thinking is until we delve down and ask the question, why not? Because it must be a reason, you know, for a person to say, I don't want to. And you, right after that is usually because. And once we find out the because, then we can delve deeper into the answer.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. I could be just a rare breed. I don't know. I can only use myself as an example, but I know, like, I just don't want to be married. Mm-hmm. And when you ask me why, in all honesty, to tell you the truth, I think the reason why I don't want to be married is because I think we have to pick our battles. And you know, being a marriage counselor for 26 years, I can tell you that we have to be honest with ourselves, you know, and I have been married twice, and, you know, I don't have anything just really terrible to say about either one of my husbands. I ain't holding on no engrams or anything like that. And I don't really want to be considered in a negative light a feminist, but there, I have done a lot of things in my life, and there are some other things that I really want to do with my life, and I don't think that it would be fair to be a wife and do all the things that Allah has really put on my heart to do. So I just think at this point in my life that I have a mission, I have a ministry, and that is really, really it helped align me with Allah, to help develop my spiritual relationship. And I am so much at peace with being single. And that's just the truth. And, you know, I didn't really understand it myself. I was walking around for a long time thinking, well, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, are you hanging on to some bitterness because, you know, you've been married twice? And I am so peaceful. You know, and I don't want to do a disservice to any of my brothers by marrying them and being a neglectful wife. So I just want to know, like a person like me, since that's the only example I could put out there. So do you think I'm a feminist, Brother Clyde?
You guys can hear?
Yes. Is he there, Brother Kareem? Brother Kareem?
Anybody there?
Yes, who is this? Brother Clyde? Okay, I don't know what happened to the phones. Brother Kareem. Okay, stand by. Let me do something right here.
Hello?
Brother Kareem?
Hello?
Brother Carr?
Hello?
Yes, hello? Brother Carr?
Are we there?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, can you hear me?
Who is this?
Yeah, I was just calling in on 6 months to respond to your thing.
Oh, okay, yes. I'm sorry, we're having some technical difficulties right now. I don't know what's going on. I think we're having a problem with the phone.
Yeah, I just came back on. I lost the two phone.
Is everybody here?
I'm here again now.
I just got back on, Brother Clyde.
Here.
I can hear you.
Okay.
I'm
here.
Sister, I'm just letting you know that if everybody's coming in kind of distant.
Okay.
You barely can
hear you.
Hello?
All right.
Okay, they say that they are currently experiencing problems with their numbers, their phone numbers, so please bear with us through the technical difficulties. I do so apologize for that. Brother Kareem, are you there?
I'm back now, yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Are the panelists there, Brother Clyde and Sister Vanessa?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay.
I am
Brother,
here.
Sister Vanessa. Okay. All right.
Yes.
So, Brother Clyde, did you hear my question or you didn't hear anything?
I heard the answer that you was giving. I heard your answer up until maybe the very end, and then I lost you.
Oh, okay. No, I was just asking, based on the information I shared with you about me personally, since I didn't have anybody else to throw up under the bus, in your opinion, did you think I am, would you classify me as being feminist?
You know what? Based on what you said, I wouldn't classify that as being a feminist. I wouldn't personally,
okay.
Because I think what you shared is very logical. I mean, I was actually talking about women would think a woman would fall into that category, in that negative category of one who have never been married. You say you have been married twice. I don't think it's anything wrong with it. I've been married since the 80s. You know, and if something happened to my wife or we wind up getting a divorce or something like that, I don't know how quick I would jump into it because of the relationship that we have had over the last 30 years. So I don't think anything is wrong with that when you explain it like that. I don't see anything wrong with that. you know, because of the simple fact that you have been married. It's not like you against it or no, I would never do that and never done that. I think that's a different thing altogether there. You know, I would not classify that one bit as being a feminist. You know, I remember when my father died and my mother was talking about getting remarried, she didn't ever remarry at all. And that's been over 40 years ago. And I would never look at her as being a feminist, you know, based on that, because she had a marriage, you know. And so I know I would not even consider that as being the same as one who's using femininity or feminist in a negative form.
Okay, we have some people who have been who have some questions. Brother Kareem, let's go ahead and take the questions and let's see if we can, if the phone lines are straight before we go back.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, area code 323. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
It's Brother Jericho out of Mile 27, Los Angeles. I was just calling family in response to you, my sister, about you being married a couple of times and you're not ready to jump in it again. And that I can understand. I myself, I've been married for 7 years, and I have to side with brother and sister, you know, in the sense that it's not something that you should take lightly. And like sister, I think that's a very wise approach that you would have as far as, you know, not wanting to inflict that upon somebody else. You know, it's about getting yourself together. If you don't have yourself together in a marriage, you know, you definitely can't deal with anybody else if you don't have it together. So, you know, I bear witness in a sense to that, you know, in my own marriage. You know, if it wasn't for me having myself and having the teachings, it's just a blessing. My wife has the teachings as well, that we can, you know, as the minister says in the study guide, the primary need is Allah. And the secondary need is your partner, is your marriage. And if your primary need ain't fully being met or fed, then, you know, you definitely can't feed that secondary need. And when you join in two people together, you know, your mind got to be in the right place. You know, you got to have your Allah together, even in the marriage, you know. And so, you know, if you got self-improvement still, you got some things you want to work out, yeah, I don't recommend you get married. You know, that's just me.
What? Thank you, dear brother. Thank you so much. I appreciate the support because I've been beginning to feel like a fifth wheel here. Thank you, brother.
Yes,
you said Jericho?
Yes, ma'am. I called in before. I think when you had the defendant Farrakhan. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, praise be to the Lord. Thank you, dear brother. Thank you so much.
One way.
Okay. Brother Kareem, we have another question.
Yes, ma'am, we do. And area code 832. Your mic is live.
Greetings, my kings and queens.
Greetings. I know this voice. Oh, my goodness.
Ms. Kidget, would you marry me?
I will marry you in a heartbeat, Milton.
Thank you.
My good friend, Milton. Oh, he's been my friend for over 30 years. He was the first person I met when I came to Houston. And, oh, my goodness, it is so good to hear your voice. Oh, my goodness.
Say this in defense of my queens. I know exactly what's wrong with all the ladies. I know exactly what's wrong with them.
What is it?
Their brothers.
Oh. Okay, so, Milton, why is that? Why is it the brother?
As you're a child, you do childish things. When you become a man, you put those things to the side. A lot of brothers is immature, don't know how to treat a real woman. I wouldn't have a woman that wasn't independent.
Okay, so you think the brothers are trying to dominate the woman, and that's why she just rather do without?
I wouldn't really say dominate them, because a queen knows her position. You don't have to teach her. You don't have to tell her. You don't have to browbeat her, beat her in the head. I don't want to beat you to make you do what you're supposed to do. If you don't know what you're supposed to do, you're not the right one.
Oh, Right, right. I agree. All right. Well, anything else you want to share with us, Milton, before you go? You need to call me.
Set a date for us to get married.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll call you. Thank you, bro. Thank you, Milton. Thank you so much. All right, Brother Kareem, I think we got Brother Eddie on the phone. Is he on the phone?
Yes, ma'am, he is. Brother Eddie, your mic is live.
No, I'm not. I'm not here. I'm just ghosting out his way.
You ain't getting away with that one.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Well,
thank you, Shalom, sir.
Okay. My question, it's going to go back a little bit. Aaron Russo, the famous producer, if anyone saw the movie Trading Places or The Wise Guys, he's that guy. He was having a conversation that he was recalling during an interview, and he was having this conversation with Nicholas Rockefeller. And Rockefeller asked Russo, and some of you may be familiar with this particular quote that I'm making. He asked Russo, "What do you know what the women's liberation movement was about?" And, of course, Russo gave the typical answer, equality in the workplace, such and such. And Rockefeller said, "Well, you're stupid." And Aaron said, "How stupid? How am I stupid?" And Rockefeller said, "We created the feminist movement because we saw half the population not being taxed. So we wanted to expand the workforce, and we know the Rockefeller and Rothschild relationship with the international banks and how our taxes are used to pay the interest on the debt that America has with the Federal Reserve Bank. But that's not really the direction I'm going. I see the word feminist, and I understand it's a good term that we use, the term, and I don't want to offend anybody when I say this, but often I feel like the word feminism and feminist are used as sugar-coated good terms, as the word nigga is, as opposed to nigger, when the root is still a problem. You know, if we want to know a good word for what a true woman is, we were given six letters, MGT and GCC. So as far as being a proper woman, I think those plenty suffice. The enemy always creates a new environment and a new world. You know, the enemy, when he was given this world, as the Quran said, he was not to use anything from the original world or God's world, because otherwise he could be charged with obeying Allah. So everything in his society must be an absolute antithesis to the righteous order. And so this feminism thing, yes, in one particular method, it is an alleviation from the problems and the imbalance of the black male and males in general. But it is not right order. You know, we talk about independence, and even independence is a relative term. We know true independence to be the ownership of land, and though the creed of Muhammad's economic blueprint to be real freedom and independence, but independence to a Negro is just being able to get a job, being able to have a house, and being able to get a car. And to be honest, that's just straight purchasing. Buying a house is not independence, that's just purchasing. And you don't need a man to purchase an item. That's not what a man is for. If manhood is limited to be able to purchase a car, I'm pretty sure you have monkeys earning money, because you got monkeys that people pay a whole lot of money in tickets to go see at the circus. So if I just, by that means a monkey could provide a house and a car. You know, so, but we know that man is made in the image and likeness of God. So man is God. Then what is the function of God? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that we call Allah, and forgive the sound of my daughter in the background, But we heard the sound of that Allah, excuse me, was called Rabb al-Alamin. Rabb is a word in Arabic, which means that Allah is the one who causes a thing to attain stage after stage until it reaches its eventual perfection. So the purpose of man and woman in the relationship is to grow one another into perfection toward what God creates and what God made us to be. So my problem with this term feminism is that it does not fit into the reality and the nature which God created man. I understand the woman having a not being in a subservient place, because the scriptures teach that he made man and woman of the same kind, and he made a woman to be a help for man, and the woman is the second self of God himself. So in the natural order, there's no need to exalt one above another. Even though the Quran teaches us that man is made a degree above women, that is not in a sense that we own you, because we absolutely don't, because as the minister teaches us, we are simply given charge of something we do not own. But we're given a degree above, and that we are at the forefront of taking on the world and the protection, while she is given the freedom through our state of responsibility to go and gain. And I don't want to take any more time, but I really wanted to comment and question everybody's opinion and stance from that relation, as far as how the Rockefeller movement and the CIA and her and their relationship with Gloria Steinem and other feminist movement figures, and how they influenced the American society, and how all of these and how everything in the feminist movement was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. And we know that Master Farad Muhammad, when he was 6 years old, he had an idea of him pushing the Fords, the DuPonts, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds into a lake of fire, fulfilling that which the Son of Man would do. You know? So I guess my question is more of a comment, but I ask everyone to what is their stance on that, and how does that correlate with, you know, where we are in terms of seeking feminism as a solution to the problem of the woman and man, the woman and the man being out of place in our proper place.
Yes, sir. Well, Brother Eddie, let me just say this. I'll start this off, and then we can go around the table. You know, society in America, you know, the political America, of course, has set an agenda for Black America. And, of course, that agenda is to have our families separated, you know, the men from the women, you know, and now the women even from the children. We can bear witness to that at the rate of how they're killing and incarcerating our youth. So, of course, we're not going to turn a blind eye to the fact that America has an agenda for Black people in particularly. However, the only way that we are going to defeat their agenda is not to adopt their mindset. And this is the whole premises for why I wanted to do this show. I hadn't gotten to that point yet, but Brother Eddie, you know, he kind of rushed me along. But we need to think about this, about how institutions prepare our children to be feminist in that negative light that we're talking about. Because, you know, when white people did it, you know, it was a good thing. It was, you know, I don't know if y'all might not be old as I am, but I remember when Helen Reddy came out with I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, and, you know, working 9 to 5 and all these, you know, free women liberation movements came along. And a lot of women did not and still do not understand their place at home as well as in society. Some women have given up their roles in the home because they say, hey, you know, I'm working outside the home, I don't want the obligation of having to come home and cook and clean or whatever. Or, and if I do, and if my man does not make as much or more money than I do, then I don't have a need for him. So, you know, you become this self-sufficient all by yourself, you know, bringing home the bacon, frying it up in a pan type of female. And, you know, it's crazy, but it's, you're being conditioned to do so. You're being conditioned to do so because as they begin to push not only black men, but white men too, out of the workforce, because the woman's mind can easily be manipulated by the man, and that's just truth. That is the nature of the man. The man has the ability to woo. And if you don't believe me, let's go back to your Bible, and we talk about the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Who wooed Eve? And we, you know, please don't nobody tell me about no snake. But I'm just saying, y'all know what I'm talking about. So men have the ability to woo women, and that is nature in itself. But if a man is not being guided correctly himself, then certainly he is one who will misguide you. So as you know, the white man has dominated this society and corporate America, and of course our educational institutions, our children and us were groomed and are being groomed to be other than ourselves. So what does that do? That sets a mindset in a woman. And I'm not talking about every woman does this, but I myself have borne witness to women saying, you know, all men are dogs. I don't want no man. I don't need him. I got this here. He ain't got no job. He can't get no job. He can't do nothing for me. He only make $20 an hour. I make 50. He got to make 55 to even get my phone number. I mean, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. But what does that do? We can easily say, well, you know, that's her problem. But when you run into 1,000 hers with that problem, that affects our community. That pushes our men away. That takes fathers away from our children because women just don't want to deal with the house of the relationship. So you just exclude the father out of the family equation, and then here's your son being raised by you, never being taught how to be a man until he learns it from the school of hard knocks. So this is what I'm talking about for women who think that. Even if you're a woman who thinks that, maybe it's something that you need to rethink, because bottom line, we need each other. We're not going to make it without each other. And I'm not saying that you have to get married, because I'm certainly not planning on it, you know, but we just have to have a different approach of how we look at one another, how we feel about one another. And men, I tell you this all the time, and I know I'm good for saying this, men, you are the maintainers of women. And it's not just your particular woman, not just your wife. Men, black men in the black community are the maintainers of all women, your mothers, your sisters, your aunts, your grandmothers, your cousins. You have the responsibility of maintaining women, and women have to be debriefed from this type of behavior. And if you know, I know it probably sounds controlling, but it's the truth. It's the truth, because this system is not designed to keep our families together. Okay, I'm going to shut up. And Brother Kareem, can you bring Brother James in? Because he has his hand up, and we're going to go back to our panelists.
Yes, ma'am. His mic is live now.
Thank you. Brother James, we lost you for a minute. You back? Brother James?
Okay.
Come off of mute. Okay, well, maybe he wasn't wanting to say anything. Okay, so, Brother Clyde, what about you?
Yes, ma'am. You know, I think that what you said, you broke that down very beautifully, you know, and I agree with you 100%. But I think one of the things that in order for men and women to accept their natural role, you know, what we were put here to be as men and women, we have to accept those words of Master Farah Muhammad: accept your own, be yourself. You know, and until we can do that, you know, there's always going to be an issue of the role of the man, the role of the woman. How can you act in your role or in your nature when you don't know it, when you're living in a world that's contrary to your very nature? You know, you have everything going on as far as Michigan State University teaching classes on how to have homosexual etiquette. You have shows now called for kindergarten
etiquette.
Etiquette.
Oh, brother, you're making me nauseated. Okay,
actual class. You know, they have shows for little children now. Shows for little children talking about my two dads. You know, little children. You know, so you've got this constant negativity, things that's going contrary to nature. So I believe it's incumbent upon us to be able to civilize the uncivilized, starting with ourselves. You know, we must swallow the seal of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and a lot of us just put it up under our tongue, but we must actually swallow the pill so that we can be the change that we want. And the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan say the best way to change a condition is be the change yourself. Be the example. And I'm a firm believer that you're going to be an example whether you want to be an example or not. You're either going to be an example, we either going to be an example of how to be or how not to be, but we will be an example. So with that being said, brother, hit on MGC and GCC women, you know, and all of that. And that's something that, you know, we must stress, we must push, even the class of the brothers, you know, going out on Monday nights. You know, we going out, but we must be sure that we're following the lead and the example of our leader in our midst today. But I really, truly believe, sister, that what you said, you know, it really can't be explained any better than that, I don't think, because that's something that must be done in order to change our condition.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And Sister Vanessa, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am here.
Okay. Now, Sister Vanessa, I'm going to ask you because, you know, a lot of our sisters, you know, they have been hurt. But do you really think that our sisters resent men? Because one of the things that I saw on Facebook was that women who are feminists are women who resent men. And, you know, and what the brother in particularly was talking about, he was saying that it could be, like Brother Clive had expressed earlier, a woman who has been hurt. You know, she might not have been hurt just one time. She might have been hurt several times. And so she has this resentment of men, period. She's categorized them all. But as you talk to, you know, maybe your girlfriends or your sorors or something like that, do you think that women who are independent, do you think they have a resentment towards men? Do they look at men as competitors?
In general, with the women that I've spoken with, I don't really
hear a resentment for men. What I hear more is the security factor, feeling insecure in the sense of thinking that our brothers are going to step up to the plate and be in a leadership role. A lot of the women that I talk to experience, and some are married, where they feel that they are leading in the household, and the man may want to be the leader, but not actually leading, if that makes sense. So I hear that a lot. I don't really hear a lot of resentment, but I will say this. I think we all, as Brother said, we all have a different set of experiences that we deal with. And I know personally, one of the experiences that I dealt with was my family, even though my parents were married for 17 years, it was a broken relationship that they tried to keep together. So a lot of that molded my thinking in marriage. And I know a lot of other women, because of what they see and what they hear, that kind of molds them too. And a few of my girlfriends will say, you know, my mother always told me all men are dogs. And so if your mother tells you all men are dogs and you grow up thinking all men are dogs, it's kind of that self-fulfilling prophecy. That's what you expect out of them. And not all brothers operate in that sense. So it goes back to that assimilation factor. We've got to learn how to break that down and not submit to that type of mentality. Not everybody is meant to be together, and you have to know who you are and what you want and establish that. And if you're dealing with somebody who's not at that level, separate yourself and move on, because you're already in a situation that's just not going to work well. So I don't think it's more that the sisters are resenting. It's just that we're not giving brothers the opportunity, and sometimes some don't deserve the opportunity to show that they can lead, because they haven't been taught how to lead, and some just don't want to lead. So you have to get to know the person before you dive in too deep with them and establish whether or not those skills are already there. And if they're not and you're not willing to deal with it, like you said, you got to know your limits and be honest with yourself. If you're not really ready to deal with that, then you move on.
Yes, ma'am. I agree. And, you know, a lot of times what has happened also is that you know, women, you know, and I'm not talking about the NGT in particularly, but women have to be accountable for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Because a lot of women, I've heard them say, well, all men are dogs. And they didn't say my mama say, they say all men are dogs. No, all the men you mess with are dogs.
Exactly.
And you need to find out why that is. And so there are a lot of behaviors, a lot of bad habits that, you know, create situations that we, you know, we perpetually just participate in because we expect to fail. And you got some sisters who just mm-hmm. don't know how to be alone. You know, they just rather have any kind of man than to have a real man. Or they don't know how to let God be sufficient for them, whether you're Muslim mm-hmm. or Christian, whatever you are. You know, you don't know how to wait on your soulmate. You know, you just have to have a mm-hmm. man. And so what happens is that you chalk up a lot of bad experiences, you chalk up a lot of bitterness, and at the end of the day, you have been stripped of your nature, not only because of what society is doing, but because you're helping them with their agenda to make you other than
oh, no.
yourself.
Hello. Goodness.
Yes. So, you know, that's just real talk to me. Okay, brother, I think, did we lose Brother Clyde, Brother Kareem? Brother Kareem? Okay. Let's see.
Queen,
hello.
Do you think Talk Radio is trying to send us a message?
Okay, is it? Can everyone hear me?
I can hear you.
5, 7, 4.
Can you hear me, Aziza?
Yes, is this Brother James?
Yes, this is me.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir, I can hear you.
All right.
Were you making a comment, sir?
No, no. Well, I just said with the difficulties that we're experiencing, I said I wonder if Block Talk Radio is trying to send us a message.
Well, you know, they do that all the time, but I think Brother Kareem said that right before we logged on, they put a note on that they were having some difficulties with the call-in number. So, inshallah, we'll be able to straighten this out. I really hate this, though, because you know this really gets on my nerves. I'm really trying to hold it together and not lose my temper. I don't want to show that side, but, yeah, this is really inconvenient, and it's really throwing me off. But, Brother Kareem, are you there? Okay. Sister Vanessa?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I think we lost audio because Brother Kareem can't hear me.
I'm here now.
Sister Vanessa can't hear me.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Okay. Can you?
All right. Well,
okay.
The only person I can hear was Brother James. Brother James, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
let me apologize to the listening audience. I am so sorry. We are having some technical difficulties. Block Talk is having issues with their phones, so it appears that our phones are the ones that's going in and out. And so for those of you in the chat room is closing and opening, and let me just take a question from Google Chat right quick, and we'll try to get that in before the show ends. Brother Benjamin say, what is a woman's place in society today? So I'm going to let you answer that question, Brother Kareem.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm going to let you answer it.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And like I say, all praise is indeed due to Allah because of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and because of the example set by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and Mother Khadija. I can answer that question. A woman's place in society today is to be, as the scripture describes her, a helpmeet for her man, for her husband, to help him.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3.
That is what her place is. Her place is to be, as she is described, the mother of civilization, the one who is to produce human beings so that we can live in a better world. That's her place. I mean, I can't go on and on, but that's as simple as I can put it.
Okay. Well, Sister Vanessa, what is a woman's place in society today?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to leave y'all out there. I'm going to let y'all hang y'all stuff on there. I'm joking.
To be quite honest, for me, I think I'm just where I am personally right now is kind of something I'd like to see across the board is with our sisters, whether they are mothers already or not, and those who are mothers just really getting in the role of nurturing our children and putting them in a position to become thinkers, not just doers. I really think that it, we need more of that and get ourselves out of the clubs, out of this social life, as if it means so much, and really focusing on that role, because for me, I think the children are the ones that we need to be guarding and building up right now. And I think more women need to do that. And whether they have children, position yourself to be ready for that. If you, whether they have children or not, just taking on that role, because if you don't, I don't see our children being successful in this form of assimilation. They're learning from someone other than themselves, and they need to learn from us. And just being honest and open with them and sharing with them our history. And a lot of us aren't doing that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And to answer your question, Brother Benjamin, I would want to say to my sisters that I think the woman's place in society is where her place has always been. I'm, you know, call me old-fashioned or whatever. I do believe that a woman's base, her base, B-A-S-E, is in the home. I am in full support of women educating themselves, women working if they choose to. I am in support of any furthering of education skills or any abilities that they desire to have. I support that 100%, but not at the cost. Not at the cost of our children and not at the cost of familyhood. We all know, if any of us have been blessed to have mothers or grandmothers, we know that women empower the family, because women are the adhesive that holds a family together. And you can bear witness to when families lose the mother in a household. Most of the time, the family's survival is very, very difficult, because if you don't have the love and the warmth and the consideration of mother, then children and husbands have a tendency to lose a great degree of themselves. So women have a very vital role in our society, in our homes. And I would love for women to pursue all
press one
of their,
and to delete and re-record your message, press 3.
But, you know, let's not do it at the expense of family. Let's not do it at the expense of our children. So mother first. And then whatever else you desire, may Allah bless you in your endeavors. And I hope that answered the question for Brother Benjamin. Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you saying something, or was you trying to get someone on the phone?
Well, I was trying to get someone on the phone. However, I can't get Brother Clyde back on the phone. That was the thing.
Okay, yeah. He's gone for tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So we have a question from Tawana. So Sister Vanessa, Tawana say, are men being too sensitive because they desire to dominate women that they no longer can control?
Oh.
Okay.
You
okay.
Know.
You all by yourself on that one, sister.
Well, I see you through me. You know, I don't want to put our brothers in a collection together, because not everyone falls into that category first. And I think when someone is acting in that sense, it's a weakness within themselves, and they may want to dominate. So I really don't believe that all men are being, and I don't even know if the word is sensitive in that manner, because you know, but if you can't be supportive of a woman who is independent, strong-minded, and all of those things, there may be a self-esteem issue there. There may be some weakness there that makes you look at all women who are independent or strong-minded like that in a certain light. And like we said before, everybody has a different set of experiences that they deal with. And you never know what that brother has dealt with, and you don't know where they come from. They may come from a household where they felt like the male's role was to dominate. And every family is different. So being a leader to me is not dominating, and some people do feel that domination is leadership. So it just depends on where they come from. And I don't think that our brothers are being sensitive, but I do think that there are some self-esteem issues there, and some of it may stem, too, from that corporate ladder that women are trying to climb. And they're thinking, uh-huh. You know, she feels like she makes more money than me. She don't need me, or, you know, I'm less to her than a man. And they come in with that mindset already thinking that. And it may not be the case, and then it may be, because some sisters are superficial like that. And hey, like you said earlier, well, if I make 60, he's got to make 65. And it shouldn't be that way, because financial success to me is a fallacy. If you could be successful financially and miserable in your life, miserable with your family, and what does that success mean if you're not happy? So,
right.
I really don't think that they're being sensitive, but I do think there are some psychological issues present, and maybe self-esteem is one, because in order to want to dominate somebody, there are some esteem and weakness issues.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, we don't put Brother Kareem on the spot. Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you, brother, want to dominate women that you can no longer control?
You said it. Do I think brothers want to dominate women that they know can no longer control?
Yes, sir. That's just the Tawana's question.
Well, my answer to that would be this. First and foremost, we have to look at how, and that's why I quote-unquote what we're calling today clearing of words, because I know my mother sent me to the dictionary all the time to make sure that I have an understanding. Yom Elijah Muhammad taught us that we had to have a command of the English language to be successful. So we have to understand these words that we're using, what they mean. And the thing is that if we properly understand what to dominate means, if it's in its proper context, then there's nothing wrong with it. Now, if you mean somebody that's going to be overbearing, somebody that's not going to let you be yourself and express the natural talent that God has given you, they just want to be the H-N-I-C, okay, then no, that's completely wrong. However, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, that which you cannot control, you cannot protect. So, see, there has to be some type of control. Control doesn't necessarily mean that an individual is keeping you from being you. The type of control that we're talking about, and like I said, I can't speak for these other individuals. I can only speak for me. But the type of control that I was taught by my mother and MGT is that type of control that keeps us all in line. Again, it's like as we've said earlier in this conversation, God has to be first. So see, when we put the creator of the heavens and the earth first, then we understand what our position is. We understand what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave it to us in Message to the Black Man under two titles. There are two chapters they run right together. In the section Original Man, one is entitled The Black Woman, and the other one is entitled Respect and Protect Your Woman. And in there, he talks about the fact that literally, of course, it's become fashionable today because Ilana Van Zandt said it. That the black woman is out of control. See, when she said it, it's all right. When we say it, there's a problem. So it goes back to understanding what the word means. We are all dominated, all under some type of control. Now, anybody says that they don't want to be controlled, what they're really saying, I'm saying this, and they can rebut me if they want to. Anybody that doesn't understand that we have to be under some type of control, that individual wants to be a savage. They want to do what they want to do without having to suffer negative consequences. And that's male or female. That's male or female. We all are under some type of control. We are all dominated by something. However, we have the ability to determine what we're going to be dominated by. And again, that goes back to placing God first.
Assalamualaikum. Salam. Thank you, Brother Kareem. Well, Sister Tawana, I don't know if there's anything else that I need to say. Only thing I would say is that I don't think that jacket will fit on all brothers. I don't think real men want to dominate women. I think real men are very comfortable in their skin, and a real man is not going to tolerate any kind of disrespect from a woman. Just like a woman, you know, gets to her point and she knows when to get out, so do our brothers. They know when to get out. A real man is not going to stand around and let you punk them. So I don't know if you mean, you know, that men want to dominate. I think that we sometimes forget to let men be men too. I think some of us have been on our own so long that the first thing we need to think about before we go into courtship or before we commit to a marriage is, am I ready to let this man come in the house and do what a man does? And if you can't answer that question with a comfortable yes, then you're not ready to get married. And that's just the truth. And so we know that there's an adjustment that has to take place within ourselves, within our habits. You know, I had a big problem in my second marriage was him asking me where I'm going. And I'd be like, what you mean where I'm going? You know, I just had that attitude. What you mean where I'm going? I've been coming and going as I can please. What, now I got the answer to you? You know, and my ignorance, and that's how I felt. So, you know, a real man is going to let you know that, you know, there are certain ground rules that we have to follow, and he's going to do what he has to do to protect his family. Now, I'm not talking about boyfriends, because I don't know, boyfriends are not obligated to do too much of nothing for us, I know, but I'm talking about your husband. So my first advice is that be sure that you're ready to let him step in and be that man that you desire. And if you don't trust him, if for some reason you don't trust him going into the marriage to be that man that you think he is, if you got any iota of a doubt, then don't do it, because doubt will cause you to plan to fail even before you start.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always right there at the forefront of your mind. So if that's the way you have to go into a marriage, then don't. But real men are going to be real men, Sister Tawana, and I hope I answered your question. And the reason why I answered like that, because she added some more things to it that I'm not going to repeat, but no, all of our brothers are not domineering. I don't think they have the desire to dominate. I think our brothers, for the most part, are doing their best to be men in a society that is heavily, heavily against them. And so for those who can make it home each day and not get arrested and not get beat or not go to prison, all praise is due to Allah, because they are becoming precious and few each and every day. So I thank God for the FOI, and I thank God for those who are just able to stand on their square in spite of all of their challenges and be real men in the community and be an example to others. So I thank God for all of them. Okay. We have another question. Okay. Mark says most say that this, I don't know what you mean by this, comes from abandonment. And okay, and black men, okay, come from abandonment, which black men learned how to do during slavery. What about the woman who grew up in a home with fathers? What are their issues? And why some of them are feminists? Okay, so you have women who grew up in the house with fathers, and, you know, so it's no abandonment there. So what about that healthy, wholesome household, Sister Vanessa? Why do some of those women turn out to be feminists?
Honestly, I don't know if abandonment would be the reason for any woman being a feminist, because I don't know. That may not be a good question for me to answer, because I don't think that the two correlate. I don't think that
Correct.
The abandonment issue leads to a woman being a feminist. Even if you come from a household where the father is there, you can still develop the mentality that you would prefer to be in this role. And I go back again to, like, what Brother Edward said, that this whole feminist movement started from white women going into society in the corporate world, and it wasn't something that we started. It was started with them, and we have assimilated to it. It's something that we've assimilated to. So I don't know if that's really a factor for me that I could speak on.
Well, I think what he means is that, first of all, I think he's putting feminist in that negative light. And so that's the first thing we want to clear up, is that being the word feminist does not define someone who is overly feminine or independent. This is just a word that is used to associate with a movement in support of women's rights. But then I think that through Ebonics and lack of understanding, that we have misused the word, and so therefore we don't understand. But we can talk about women who suffer from abandonment issues, and I think one thing is correct, that abandonment issues do not necessarily start in the first intimate relationship that you have, but it can start with your parents. And so I think he's asking, what is the excuse for women who come from healthy, so-called healthy, sound homes, and they decide to be feminist? And I think they're associating feminists with women who resent men. I can just tell you this, that there are a lot of reasons that women may resent men, but that's all due to personal experiences. I don't think there's a woman born out of her mother's womb that grows up and say, when I grow up, I'm going to be a man hater. I've never seen that happen. But what I have seen is that they have been, you know, perpetuating perpetual circumstances in our community, and particularly that have caused women to retreat from men. There has been sexual abuse by family members. There have been physical abuse by boyfriends, spouses, and sometimes even siblings. There have been sibling sexual abuse. There have been all kinds of things. And all I'm saying, my whole point for this show is that, you know, what I don't like, what I see on Facebook, and I hope it's not reflective of what goes on in our society, is when you totally dismiss a person with a problem.
Right.
If a woman is so hateful towards men, or if you think she's acting other than herself, instead of judging her or him, what about extending the olive branch, or what about extending the friendship of brotherhood and sisterhood? And it especially disturbs me when it's those members of the Nation of Islam, because I know we know better. But just in general, we as black people should never be found, especially in public, showing our division. It is a sign of weakness. And when you put one another down, or you want to, you know, talk about one to lift yourself up and make you feel good because you don't think you about nothing, so you put somebody else down to do it, I think it's deplorable, and I think you're very puckish to do that. I really do, because I really think that we need to stop dissing one another on public media. We need our media to show that we are a unified people. Fake it till you make it. You fake everything else. So I don't think that that should be a problem, that we should not display our shortcomings. But in the process, let's try to extend the hand of love and friendship and brotherhood and sisterhood so we can make it through some of these tragedies. You know, we can't judge a person about, you know, because they feel a certain way based on their experiences. Just like we can't judge you because you feel a certain way about certain things based on your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you fear has already happened to you. It has already happened to you. So, you know, we need to be more brotherly and more sisterly. But I wanted to get it clear that a feminist woman on the level that they think is not a negative thing. Being a feminist is actually a good thing if you are for the equal social and economical rights of women. And I think we need to stop misusing the language. We need to learn how to speak the language well and represent our knowledge and our capability. But I just wanted to show some support to my sisters who have been getting a bad rap, you know, on Facebook and probably everywhere else in public, to let them know that you stand on your square of womanhood. You do what you have to do. You be real with yourself and don't let nobody drive you into a hole just so you can please them. You know, be the woman that God called you to be, and the only way you're going to be that is to keep it real. So that's going to be the end of my comments. Sister Vanessa?
Well, I'm glad you said it, because, you know, too, as women, we also need to be supportive of one another, because one woman should understand another woman, and we may not understand the exact issue, but like you said, extending the olive branch and trying to understand a person's situation rather than judging them and demeaning them. And this is something that we do way too often. And so I do think that as sisters, we need, and women, we need to stand together, be supportive of one another. And when we do that, it's a lot less likely for us to be judged so easily by others, because we're standing together as a unit.
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right, Brother Kareem, any last comments before we go?
Well, the only comment I can make is that I think this has been time well spent. time well spent, and as you said, we have to really understand the language that we use. Also, as both you and Sister Vanessa said, it's time out for us to attack one another. We need to put the baseball bats down and come together so that we can unify. As you did say, you know, like I said, in the purest sense of the word, to be a feminist with balance, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem comes in with feminism when we have that imbalance. So I support all my sisters. That's my comment.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. Well, before we go, I'm going to give you the lineup to join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central for our live study group with Student Minister James Muhammad. He will be joined by Brother Marcus Muhammad and his wife, Sister Cecilia, and they're going to talk about marriage. I don't know to what degree, and I wish he was here to expound further, but join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central for live study group, the time and what must be done with Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia. And on Saturday, join us for Young Gifted in Black. We're going to have some educational components, some poetry, some music. Brother Ronnie is really stepping up his game. He has made a massive creation out of Young Gifted in Black on Saturday night at 8 o'clock Central, so you don't want to miss that. A lot of new music, a lot of new poetry. I'm excited about him being the new host. He's really bringing a lot to the table. And on Sunday, join us at 6:30 p.m. with Brother Vernon with No Romance Without Finance. Of course, he's going to be talking about economic development, trade, and commerce. So we don't want to miss that because we definitely need our own money. And, of course, on Monday, we'll be right back here at 8 p.m. Central with Brother Kareem. Brother Kareem, you want to give us a sneak peek of the topic?
Our topic is going to be, or it is, the price of freedom.
Ooh, freedom ain't free. That's all I got to say.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's
all
right.
Praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. So join us for Conscious Black Nation at 8 p.m. on Monday. On Tuesday, we'll be back with the Out on the Front Line with the Food of Islam. I don't think we'll have a live broadcast because of the Believers Meeting, but the week after that, my big brother, Jihad Muhammad, will be live up close and personal in living color. All praise is due to Allah. My brother is getting better and better, recuperating, coming home. So we miss you, Brother Jihad. We love you much and praying for you. So we wish you well. And on Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Season Friends, our hip-hop comedy show at 7 p.m. Central. And next week, I am so excited. I will be back with the topic Divided by Faith. And I am gathering members of the cloth, so to speak. So I'm going to have a Baptist minister, my friend, my good brother, Minister Willie Davis out of Houston, Texas. He's going to be joined with Student Minister Robert Muhammad and Brother James Muhammad, and we're going to have a Catholic priest and a Protestant minister, and we're going to try to get our rabbi to join us as well. So don't miss that. That's going to be Divided by Faith next Thursday at 8 p.m. And that's the end of our show. So, Brother Kareem, I want to thank you for engineering. I want to thank you for for being a panelist, for doing double duty tonight. But, you know, hey, that's the job of the VP. He is the vice president. When the president is out of the country, the VP got to step up.
All praise
is due to Allah. I thank you so much, and may Allah bless all of you and thank all of you in the chat rooms. I am so sorry about the technical difficulties, but I promise next week I'll make it up to you. So may Allah bless us all with the light of understanding. Thank you, Sister Vanessa. Thank you, Brother Clyde, and thank you, Brother Kareem. May Allah bless you, Queen, and you go and get some rest and take care of that baby. I got a new niece on the way, so, you know, I'm the protective aunt. You better go get some rest, Sister Vanessa.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you all. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Well, alaikum salam.